word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Today we continue our study in John chapter 13 with Jesus in the upper room. This is part of a larger series called From Bethany to Gethsemane. And we begin in the upper room in John chapter 13, John 14, John 15, John 16. John 17 is when we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So these are very important chapters for us to study. I think very important chapters for every believer to know. For in these chapters, we find some of the last words of Jesus to His people. His disciples are gathered. Last week, we studied where Judas had betrayed Him. And Judas has taken off into the night. So Judas is gone. And now, as Jesus is speaking to His disciples, these are very important words because they are for believers. There are four followers of Christ. I wonder, do you consider yourself a follower of Christ? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Because you see, without Christ, these words mean nothing to you. You must know Christ for these words to apply to your life. And for you to know Jesus and to walk with Him, these words should be very important to you. In a few moments, we're going to be reading in John chapter 13. I'd encourage you to go get your Bible and join with us as we consider the Word of God today. In the meantime, as you have opportunity, go and check out our website at www.considerhisword.org. At the website, you'll find a number of resources there. You'll find there a book that I wrote. And if you'd like to go back and kind of catch up with these programs, you can do that. They're all listed there. As you click on radio programs, you'll find the previous programs and can go back and begin to study from the beginning if you need to. Now also, I want to tell you that while we're studying the Gospel of John and while we're studying these chapters, we're offering you a free copy of the Gospel of John. Now listen, this is a little pocket copy of the Gospel of John. You can slip it in a shirt pocket or your pants pocket. You can put it in your purse and carry it with you. You can use it as we study these scriptures together. Whatever you need to do, you can carry this Gospel of John with you. We're sending them absolutely free. Now there's two things. One, we're only sending one to a family, one to an address. And secondly, we can only give them out as long as we have them. Now, we still have a good number on hand. And so if you write to us, we'll be glad to send you one. We have a new P.O. Box. And so you can write to us there at P.O. Box 550-456 in Davie, Florida, 33355. And of course, send it to Consider His Word Ministries. Let me give you the address one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, P.O. Box 550-456 in Davie, Florida, 33355. Of course, we'd be just glad to hear from you. So you can order from the website, you can write me a note, and we'll be glad to get that out to you. Absolutely free. We'll take care of the postage. We'll take care of all of those things. So all it costs you is what it takes to you to communicate to us that you'd like to have one of these little Gospels of John. We'd love to give it to you. We'd love to send it to you. And so, write to us. Let us hear from you. Now, as we continue our study in John, we pick up in John chapter 13. Judas has already left. He's gone out into the night. And Jesus turns to the other disciples that are there, and He begins to speak to them. And He says to them some very important words. Part of the problem we're going to have here is that the disciples don't completely understand what's going on. So I want you to notice a couple of things. Now, first of all, I want you to notice this, that these words were for his disciples. These were for the followers of Jesus. This was not a message that went out to the whole world. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. These are not for the natural man. 1 Corinthians goes on to say, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. And so these things were written for believers. And he said to them, pick up in John chapter 13, verse 31. Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Some pretty powerful words. I want you to notice a couple of things. You see, there's a new condition. Now it has come. Jesus' first word he said to his disciples was now. You see, everything had taken place now for Jesus to begin the road to Calvary. He had met with them in the upper room. He had instituted the Lord's Supper. Judas has now betrayed him, and Judas is now out of the picture. And so he turns to them and says, now. You see, the time has come. It's interesting, Jesus here refers to himself as the Son of Man. I think he speaks particularly of his humanity. But you see, as the Son of God, he said that he would be glorified. He knew that from the crucifixion until when he would be raised again, that he would now be in his glorified body, and he would be glorified. The Son of Man is coming into his glorified body. He is coming into his glory. And that in all of that, you see, God is glorified. Interesting, isn't it, that God is glorified in the gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is honored in the Father in everything. In all of his life, Jesus had honored the Father. He had obeyed the Father in everything, you see, because it was all for his glory. And the Father will bring Jesus into his glory, to sit at his right hand, to sit in heaven for eternity. And he begins to speak to the disciples about something that really had them confused. In verse 33, he said to them, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you'll seek me. And as I've said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come, so now I say to you. As he turned to them, he called them little children. Now, it was not a term demeaning them. It was a term of endearment. He was speaking to them as a close relationship. You realize that Jesus could not have said that to Judas. When Jesus died on the cross and forgave our sin, gave us new life, he gave us the ability to become children of God. And he recognized these disciples as his children. Over in John chapter 1, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, he said to them that John said, that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he them the right or the authority to become the children of God. And you can become a child of God when you receive Christ as your Savior. And so he says to them, I'm not going to be with you much longer. Again, the disciples don't understand this at all. He says, and where I'm going, you cannot come, at least not for now. Now, he's speaking of his death, that they could not come with him during that time. The Bible tells us what happened to Jesus when he died on the cross, that he led captivity captive. The Bible gives us a description of where Jesus was, and I don't have time to go into that today, maybe some other time. For now, I want you to see this. Jesus is telling them, you can't come with me now. And the disciples are looking at each other going, where is he going? They were so confused at this point. Jesus speaking of his death, and yet the disciples are very confused. In fact, later Peter asked him about it down in verse 7. He said, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake." And this is when Jesus predicts Peter's betrayal or Peter's denial. Peter doesn't know, and later even Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" It comes later in John chapter 14. They're asking all of these questions. Jesus had something very important to say to them, and this is where I really want you to see today. He says, "I have a new commandment for you." Now, they were familiar with the old commandments. This was a commandment that was not necessarily found in the law. This is a new commandment. Sometimes we get so hung up in the Ten Commandments, we forget about the new commandment. It was something new and something fresh. And the commandment boiled down to this. He said, "You love one another as I have loved you." It's very simple. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave them an example of love. His love was demonstrated in all of his life and in his calling and his teaching. In his healing, you could see his love in his forgiveness. In his prayer and his suffering, Jesus demonstrated his love to us. Now he said, "I want you to love each other like I have loved you." And the Bible speaks much of this love over in John, in 1 John, the little epistle. Wow, John spoke a lot of this love. Listen to these verses from 1 John chapter 3. He says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John 3:23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." You see, later John would remember what Jesus said this day. Jesus told them that they should now love each other the way he had loved them. He had demonstrated his love. Jesus later said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." But God commended this love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus said, "This is how people will know that you're my disciple, that you love each other." Wow. How many churches have we seen the failure of this commandment? That we love each other the way Jesus loved us. He said, "This is how people will know you're my disciple." Didn't come by their church attendance, not by wearing a Christian t-shirt, not by the size of our Bible or a bumper sticker on a car, but by this, people will know you're my disciple. This should be the greatest testimony of our faith, our love for each other. I think this is one of the great failings of the church through the years, is people begin to argue and they begin to fight and they begin to fuss with each other. They're not loving each other like Jesus said. You see, notice that this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. When Jesus washed their feet, he said, "I did this to show you example." Now it's not just an example. He's saying, "You do this. This is a commandment, that you love each other the way I have loved you. This is how people will know you're my disciples, because you love each other." So let's love each other in word and in what we say. Don't criticize other people in your church. Learn to love them. Encourage each other. In what we do, people should see the love of Christ in us. All that we would love, like Jesus taught us. Our time is God. May God richly bless you.
Consider his word.